Amen is coming tonight to minister to the Lord, to break open the bread of life and whatever else God has put on his heart. So get ready, hook up. Brother Damon, thank you, praise team.
Yeah, well, that's the Kanye that we all know, right? He's the chart-topping hip-hop artist with 21 Grammys to his name, now making headlines for a growing movement known as Kanye's Sunday Service, a fusion of gospel, rap, and God, drawing believers and non-believers to weekly sermons. But with West's newly released album, Jesus is King, is it a ploy to sell records or to start something much bigger than that? We sent Fox News religion analyst Jonathan Morris on a special assignment to get the story.
It is a group of people, Christians, new born-again Christians, who come together on a weekly basis, and they basically just sing praises to the Most High, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I can't get into people's motives of why they're here. We're still praising God. Whether you're here to see Kanye or to rock the latest Yeezys or whatever your intentions are, I think at the end of the day, like, God is still being glorified. And there's someone's life being changed.
Do you think that in some way this could be a way of bringing people back into faith or spirituality?
No, not at all. It's music. That's all it is.
What would you say to people who would say, this is Hollywood. This is just Kanye getting, promoting himself. What would you say to that?
I would say, how many people are you bringing to Christ? Because Kanye's doing it. So, like, let's not judge. God changes us all, and we need him.
We're here in Los Angeles and right outside of the Forum, where usually there's all sorts of concerts going on. But today, there's a banner that says Jesus is King. And we've been interviewing people as they go in, about to see Kanye West, but in a spiritual environment. We're not sure what's going to happen, but we're going to find out.
I just want y'all to understand exactly what I felt when I was laid out and wound and crying on the floor and praying to God. As we worked on this song, I know it's funny and it feels good, but we went through a lot of pain as I had to stand up. But what I believe in.
So you said you'd never been to church before. How amazing that here you are listening to a hip-hop artist, a rapper, tell you about his experience with God. What was your experience in there?
Well, I thought it was really transformative. I thought it was like it was just a whole new experience.
Jesus is King. The kingdom is all the kingdom is forever.
before in my life, I never really kept like God or religion really in mind, but I'm going to be more open-minded, and I think that's really a key thing about it. Just be more open-minded and keep it in the back of my head while I go through my everyday life.
Jesus, keep us well. Jesus, is our safe. Jesus, is our rock. Jesus, keep us praise. Jesus, keep us safe.
So this is legitimate?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
If not, we praying that it is. Yeah.
God can use anything for his good, you know. So if this is the atmosphere where, you know, some people need to be reached, then God will use it.
I mean, the music is beautiful. It's awesome. Very moving watching this, you know, but everyone is always so suspect of Kanye and his motives, and he's Hollywood and he wants to sell records. What was your takeaway from being there?
I was one of 17,100 people in the forum. And it was, let me try to describe it like this, Martha. It was one part hip hop concert, maybe one part just Kanye being Kanye, doing a lot of fun, crazy stuff. Maybe two parts a gospel choir and a really good one, as we just saw.
Amazing.
And maybe three parts a Billy Graham crusade style revival.
Yeah.
But it's Kanye West doing it. So it was fascinating.
Do you think God could be working through Kanye West?
Of course. He's very good at working through very flawed people, including me and you and Kanye West. I was fascinated.
I'm definitely flawed. I mean, I think it's very interesting, and I, you know, we'll see if it sustains in him, and you know, I hope that it does for him and for his life. I think it's interesting he's focusing on taking back Sundays, and one of the things I read about what he's doing is it's very Bible based. It's very traditional Bible based. It's not like he's making up a new faith. He's been training in a very traditional Bible based faith. But he wrote this song that he's, you know, getting some snickers called Closed on Sunday, and it has the Chick-fil-A line in it. Listen to this.
Closed on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away. Get your family, y'all hold hands and pray. Raise our sons, train them in the faith. Through temptations, make sure they're wide awake. Follow Jesus, listen and obey.
That's a pretty powerful message.
Yeah, you know, and he mentioned something during this whole event, this Sunday, that how this all originated. And he was in the hospital. He was basically, he admitted himself for exhaustion. He had this huge, big deal that just kind of fell apart. And then his wife, Kim Kardashian, had just been robbed in a hotel room in Paris. His life was kind of a disaster. And he felt called to start a church. And then he went to his aides, and they're like, no, you can't start a church. You're not a pastor. And so he said, oh, you're right. So let's do something else. And he's created this experience. And I don't think it's a substitute for church. I went to Mass that morning before I went to his service. But I think it could be a catalyst for people, especially young people. That guy who we interviewed, he said he was 17 years old. He had never been to church in his entire life. And it was because of a Kanye West event that he was reexamining his life. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, you know, put down your phones, put down Instagram, take Sunday to be with your family and hold your hands and pray. I think it's fascinating. We'll see where it goes. Thank you for going out there.
Thank you for
sending
me.
It's a great piece that you did. Jonathan, thank you very much. So you can read more about Jonathan's experience at Kanye's Sunday service in an op-ed that he posted on FoxNews.com.
If we need to expect more of this, we need to expect more of this, because God said in the last days he's gonna stir things up, and that's what he's doing. All flesh, he's stirring, and to see this is just like, God, do it more. Do whatever you want to do. They're gonna be in Houston this weekend, and I might try to stop in, but just the amazing thing that God is doing through this young man, and it's not It's not. It's so simple. It's just the simple gospel that they're sharing. I got to look at one entire Sunday service, and normally what they'll do is they're worshiping, like the team that he's with, they're worshiping, but they always seem to always bring a man of God or a pastor in that city, and the man of God would just bring a simple message. And you can see that one young gentleman that was there, he had never been to church before. But because somebody like Kanye West can say, Jesus is king, that led that young man to just say, well, I'm going to go check out what he's... You never know who God can use. But we as a church, we need to pray. We need to, because the first thing that's going to happen is definitely, you know, the world is going to come against the brother because they say, man, you crazy. Come on. Really? You really talking about Jesus? And then the church is skeptical because they're like, he ain't doing it this way. It's not liturgically right. It's not. He's lifting up Jesus. And Jesus said, when we lift him up, he'll draw all men. And so I'm praying, brother. It's like, keep lifting up Christ. Keep doing what you're doing, because we're in a time where God is doing the unexpectable. There are going to be more suddenlies that arise, and God doing amazing things. And we're going to be looking up like, well, I remember when he used to be like, but God, but God. And so, and the thing is that it's really important to undergird young people like this, because sad to say, many times they come into the faith, and because they didn't have the encouragement of the body of Christ standing with them, many times they fall away. And God forbid, we don't want that to happen. But I prefaced all that to kind of just bring into to your remembrance what Sister Michelle shared with an amazing Sunday that we had with the ordination that went forth. But one of the things that she shared with us was one of the words that God had laid on our heart for 2020. How many remember? She said the word go. Go. She said, get the passport. Amen. But seriously, that is a clarion call. That word is really special to me because of several reasons. But if you look at the Greek connotation of that word, it denotes a passageway. Basically going from one destination to another. You don't go by sitting down. You got to get up and move. You got to get in action to go somewhere. And so figuratively, when you look at that word, the Greek description is to depart, with the emphasis on personal meaning. Personally, you personally making determination to reaching a particular destination. And when I hear that word go, it's really significant, because I think about when God called me to ministry and it came in the form of a dream. And that was the word that he gave me. It was literally, he said, it was like a dream. Like literally I was in a church service in this dream. And then I just felt myself leaving my body. And I was approaching just amazing light, which I knew was the presence of God. And I'm reaching, and I just feel this figure embrace, like with his arms out. And I'm just, all I could do was just embrace. But you talk about just intense love. That's all I felt, just love and compassion. And it was like you felt like you weren't worthy of it, but you wanted to go near it. And I just felt that arm of the Lord just embrace me. And he said, go and know that my love is with you. And I woke up out of that and I was like, I never had a dream like that in my life. And so the first person, of course, I shared it with was Pastor Jim Lillard. And he said, God has a call on your life, son. It's obvious. And so, but that word, the significance of that is so important for this time and season, because God is literally, he's beckoning his church. I mean, you see somebody like Kanye West. I firmly believe we're going to start seeing more of this, but God is beckoning his body to go forth, because people are in more disarray and despair than never before. And if we don't rise up and go meet them where they are, we have to be about business of glory. We have to be about the next word that is on our zero gravity. We have a zero gravity outreach Bible study and conference call every Monday. And Brother Tim, our leader, he said that he felt in his spirit the Lord saying, for 2020, this is the time. I feel, and it's an amazing message. He says, I feel like I've been fishing in the same pond for so many, many years, and everybody else has their same nets in the same pond. But and then also what we've done is we've made camps around the pond, but we're not fishing, and we're catching the same catch and release. It's the same fish we catch. And he goes, if I go 5 miles up the road, I might go to a different pond that might have different fish. So he goes, Lord has put it on my heart to say, we got to get up out of here, because he said as they were ministering, him and his whole family, as they were ministering Asia to the different huts and people had never heard of Jesus and was going in there and sharing. He said it became contagious that I got to have this more. I've been over here in the same pond, and people say, oh, yeah, we know that scripture. We know that. No, I'm going to go over here to this pond where the people is like, what are you talking about, man? This is incredible. That's where we are. That's why it's important for us to rise up and go, because the word of God says that the times are evil. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. But men need to understand the fullness of the God that we serve. But they can't do it if we're sitting on our derriere. If everything is just same old, they're not going to be changed. It's important. Sister Michelle, during Pastor Appreciation, bless Katie. Katie was a real blessing to me, because she helped me. I said, help me put together a playlist of all your parents' like favorite music. And so one of the songs that she told me, she said, make sure you find this song. I could not find this song to download it. I mean, nowhere on Spotify. They didn't have it on Apple Music, on Google. It was like, I was amazed that I could not find this song. But it was a song from the Winans, 90s Winans, mid-90s Winans. And it was a song called It's Time. It's Time. I should have asked. I wasn't thinking. I had it. I was looking through my CDs and I don't know what happened, but I used to have it, but yeah, I should have checked with you, D. My bad. But if you've never heard that song, the chorus basic is very simply says, it's time. Time to make a change. We are the people who can do it. It's time. Time to make a change. We are the people. We can do it. That's what God is saying. It's time. It is time for us, because we are the ones who can make that change. More than ever, there is a stirring that the Spirit of God is causing his people to arise to the place that he has called us. And in that stirring, I'm telling you, there are going to be suddenlies, and the suddenlies are going to be so wild that some of us, we're going to have to pray to God to receive it. But we need to be thoroughly persuaded that nothing is impossible for our God. And so I call it, this message is called go time. It's go time. Not the Power Rangers. But it's the infused authority kingdom builders. It's time. It's go time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 is the passage of scripture that I want to really for us to dive into. And I want to read it from several different passages just to drive it home, just so you can see what the word of God says. And some of these passages from the different translations are like, I mean, I had never seen this before, but it is like really, really speaking about the importance of us being diligent to walk out what God has placed in us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to read it first from the Amplified, and I'm going to read it from several different passages. And then I'm just going to talk just a little bit about how go time can be applied to different areas of our lives. So the Amplified of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. The Phillips translation, buckle your seats for this one. The Phillips translation says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but those who do. Make the best of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. Don't let your stimulus from wine, for there is always the danger of excessive drinking, but let the Spirit stimulate your souls. Express your joy in singing among yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Make music in your hearts for the ears of the Lord. God, thank God at all times for everything, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fit in with each other because of your common reverence for Christ. I read just a little bit more of that, but he's saying live life responsibly. Then the Message translation says, don't waste your time on useless works, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off of those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffins, and Christ will show you light. So watch your step and use your head. Make the most of your chance that you get, for these are desperate times. And then lastly, the Passion translation says, so be very careful how you live. Not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer that we're not living this life for ourselves. We are living it to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God. He has put something in each one of us that desperately is needed by the world, and sometimes even by believers who have given up hope or they're bound by religion. But God has put something in each one of us to set the captives free. And I want to talk just a little bit about some of those areas, because sometimes we get this perception that it has to be some big grandiose thing, but it starts with just the littlest things that we can make an impactful difference that can change a neighborhood, that can change a corner. It could change relatively anyone we come in contact with, because God wants to use the simple things that are in our lives and use those things to make a very big difference in the world. So first of all, go time. Make notes on these things, because I want you to, as you leave here tonight, I want you to think about these things individually. And think about a few weeks ago when we had Family Day, you know how we had the little questions and things on the screens. Think about it in the light of that, and kind of just reiterate those things and stir up what God is trying to do in us individually as well as corporately. But first, the first area I want to talk about is go time in your family. Go time in your family. You know what that represents? That represents, I believe thoroughly, for every family that's on the face of the earth, God has a purpose for that family. God has a distinct purpose that family has to fulfill in the earth. They bring their puzzle piece to the rest of the board to fulfill the body of Christ. And so find out what that is. And if you don't know what it is, ask God. He will show you. Say, God, what is the purpose of our family? What have you designed us to fulfill to make a difference in the earth? So if you already know it, guess what? Now it's time to get honed into that thing like never before and to begin to walk it out. Now, I give you an example. For my household, I know there's several key identifiers that our family, you know, arts, education, music, ministry, those things, that's what the O'Brien household is about. And so everything that we do, it has to be directed to fulfilling those things that God has called us to do. When we do our part, that fulfills one aspect of the kingdom. But guess what? That's not the only part. There are some families that have been called to be encouragers. There are some families that have been called to be to have family businesses. Whatever that is, 2020 is the time to hone in on that like never before and say, God, what do you want our family to do? And going forth, making a difference in society, in community, in the kingdom, what have you placed in us? And I guarantee you, as we make a place for that influence, that we have more of a voice in our neighborhoods, in our schools, because it's time for believers to see not only believers, but the world to see godly families walking in the fullness of his purpose for their lives. And so I would encourage us, that family dynamic, like never before, God wants to raise it up in this time, in this season, and allow us to go and make a difference. And many, I have to say, many in the body, you're doing that. But I say, let's accelerate it. Let's do it a little bit more. And in doing so, as we do it, point people to Christ. It's not about the fact that we are so skillful. No, anything that God has given us is because of his goodness. And so as we go through those things and we do them with excellence, we point everyone to Christ. So that's the first aspect in the family area. The next thing that I want to point out is go time in your school or in your workplace. And we've heard this for years. It's not about going to your work and I'm going to spend 8 hours of my day doing a Bible study, but I don't do none of my work. The first reason I'm there is to be a blessing to that company, to do my J-O-B, do my job. But guess what? I can do it and do it in such excellence that it's under God. In fact, that's what the scripture says, that whatever we do, we should do with all excellence and diligence as we're doing, not working under men, but working under God. And so, you know, the whole thing of being there before anyone else and leaving after they've all gone. And I'm telling you, that makes a difference. When it comes promotion time, when it comes right, that I'm telling you, that makes a difference because they will see that your interest is in it. But at the same time, while you're going through your day, guess what? You can be lifting up that company. You can be lifting up those coworkers. You can see someone in need and immediately, you know, one of the things that Pastor Richard encouraged us, find somebody to pray with. But guess what? It don't have to always just be face to face. You can just touch them as you're going along, and they don't even know why you touched them. But you know why, and God knows why. One thing that I've gotten in the habit of doing, when I get on campus, and God will remind me when I forget, but there's a bridge that I have to cross going to my office, and it kind of gives me a nice view, kind of like Pastor used to do with the city of Austin. But for me, it's with the UT campus. When I go over that bridge, I can get a really good glimpse of the stadium and everything else. And I just plead the name and the blood of Jesus over the UT campus. I say there will be no calamity. Everyone that's on this campus is covered with the name, because we're not going to have this, all these crazy mass shootings that go on these college campuses. Not on my campus. It's not going to happen as long as I'm there. But guess what? That's what God wants you to do wherever you walk, wherever you work, and wherever you go to school. You can be that difference maker because you're there. The kingdom of God is there. But at the same time, whenever we have those open opportunities to share with people, to engage with people, and to let them know what we're about, because people, when they see you walking in excellence, when they see you walking in favor, the door is going to be wide open, and they're going to ask, why are you the way you are? Why are you smiling all the time? I've got that question so many times. Why are you smiling all the time? I'm glad you asked. I've got the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord, what is that? You can have some of this if you want. And it's better than vaping. It's better than all that other stuff that y'all try to do. God wants us. He wants us to allow the spirit of the living God that's unwanted. While they were transitioning one Sunday, they didn't go to church. And his six-year-old daughter started, you know, crying because they didn't go to church. He said, baby, we'll never miss another Sunday, because that's what we want. We want to be, whatever we do, to be so contagious that others want it. But it's by the excellence that we pursue in our daily walk. When you're going to school, when you're going to work, allow Christ. Say, Lord, this day, allow me to make a difference. No matter what scale. Sometimes we get discouraged because we say, well, man, I haven't started no work Bible study. Sometimes it don't start there. It start with you just smiling, saying, allow that to grow and develop into more things. But we have to be willing to start with just the little steps of making sure, Lord, am I daily walking as a Matthew 5:16 believer? Am I allowing the light that's in me to shine so brightly that people see it? And because of it, they see you. That's what God wants. He wants us to be in a position where he can flow through us. But it starts with us being diligent where we are, and it starts with us being faithful where we are. And many of y'all already know this, but I'm saying, once again, like point one with the family, in the school, in the workplace, it's time for us to accelerate that. It's time for us to accelerate it. People need to see Christ demonstrated in all these areas. And then the last but not least area, I just want to talk about these three, but the last one that I want to stay and I want to park at for a little while is this go time at House of the Lord. It's go time at House of the Lord. We got so much word in us. We got so much got in this room. There's years of wisdom that I'm looking at in front of, and guess from things that our leaders have placed in front of us, and we're going to stand by those things, no doubt. The things that we know that they're clear indicators of where God wants us as a body, just one individual who God has done an amazing work, and there's going to be many more other than Brother Kimpo that have come into this body that I really believe we're going to reach. But guess what? It's bigger than just that. Pastor Jim used to say something, and I was remembering it when I thought about it. Pastor said, some people go, some people send, and some people stay by the stuff. Now, through the whole process, we all encourage one another in every aspect of that. But all of that is part of going. All of that is part of the process of the body of Christ making a difference outside of the walls. And so I would encourage you, ask yourself, because guess what? I was thinking Sister Michelle was saying, okay, yeah, when we get ready, you know, and they're going to go, you know, her and Pastor, they're going to go. The plan is to go to Botswana. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, they're going, but some of us still going to be here. We don't hit the pause button. We don't hit the pause button. We continue because we're still in Austin. We're still in Williamson, Travis County. So guess what? We still need to be devising and asking the wisdom of God to make a difference where we are. And I believe as they're going forth, yes, the road of what God wants to do outside of that is going to just be seed in the ground. But guess what? We can't just sit down like the man that buried this thing in the ground and be like, they got it. They got it. It's going to be good. No, we need to do our part where we are. And so I would ask you, what has God been speaking to your heart about Austin, about Central Texas, about Williamson, Travis County? What has God been speaking to your heart specifically or showing you? If he hasn't been speaking to your heart, you need to be asking him because we're here. This is where we live, and the light of what we receive here at House of the Lord, they need it. They need it. And I just was jotting a few things down. When we are diligent about those things and understand that we have to be about our Father's business in impacting our city. And so I wrote just a few things. And, you know, I just came with it. As of late, I've been hearing, as I turn on the news, I've been hearing more and more. This comes out more and more about the homeless situation in our city. How many people are ministering to those people? Just think about it. I mean, like how much ministry? I mean, they're in the midst of so much red tape, you know, and I know there's a whole lot that goes into that, you know, but they've been literally taken away from the place where they are, which, I mean, I understand it's you know, not a very health, hazardous situation that's been presented. But it's like, what hope do they have? Who's ministering to, you know what I'm saying? Who's reaching these people where they are? That's just one aspect. Then I said, you know, what are the areas and needs in our city? That's just one. But what are some other areas? And these are things rhetorically, just think about as you're going from here tonight. Where are things in our city that ministry needs to be infused in? And many of us, some of us, before I even say this, in many of the areas and places that we live, we already know. They need ministry down here. They need, okay, so let's start trying to figure out ways that we can minister to those people. And now the next thing I wrote is, what are people passionate about in our city? What are they passionate about? What's keeping them away from coming to church? Or what is the first thing they think about doing on Sunday morning? That's where you know where they live. And when you can identify, you can reach them. And many of us, based on the things that we're interested in, we can have relationships formed with those people to infuse the gospel to them. But I just wrote a few down. How many? I mean, we already know Austin, the live music capital of the world. So music, that's like the forefront, the arts, you know, stuff like that, you know, government, some things like that. Those are like the forefront things. Do you know that Austin, Texas is the fourth pet friendliest city in the United States? Number four. It slipped last year because it was number three. But still, we're in the top five. And you see that people, you can't go to a restaurant. People want to bring their animals with them to the restaurant. I'm like, leave that dog at home. I'm trying to eat. I don't want to be reminded of no dogs when I'm eating. I love my dog, but I don't want him around me when I'm eating. He knows he better get away from me. But the people have made that a priority. I mean, they over by where we live in Round Rock, they're building a dog hotel. I'm like, what, a hotel for a dog? But that's what people are passionate about. God gives somebody some ordained idea to minister to people. My wife has talked about this. A God ordained, you need to walk out of that, because that's a ministry field. But God gives some wisdom to people on how to minister to people who are passionate about pets. You know, people, when their dogs get sick, oh man, they'll spend all kinds of money on an animal. But I'm saying is, find out where people, where they are, where they live, what they're passionate about. And that's a place of ministry that you can reach people at. And so I would just say it's important for us to understand these. Like I said, these are just a few things. Now, some of the things that I've been desiring, and I kind of started this in one time, but it was kind of reminded me when I saw the brother with the Sunday services. Something that's been on my heart is find an open place. And I started in here. We're going to start it again, but it got so hot during the summertime. Like one time I did, and I got home, I was like dizzy because it was like 106. And so I was like, okay, we're going to do it when the weather, like brother, Sister Tina had a really good idea that maybe we do it in the fall and in the springtime when it's not so hot, but playing the music out here and having, but that's something that's been on my heart literally for a long time. And I'm like, God, maybe it's just time for me to just do it. And I've always had the heart and vision of bringing like John or Brian, while we're playing the music, allow them to minister a short gospel message. Because, you know, one thing, the music will draw people and it'll be bait, but we'll bring them the truth of God's word throughout the whole entire aspect. But what I'm saying is, being in a place where we're accessible to the needs and the passions of the people in our city. And when they see us, they realize, see, sometimes, a lot of times, people will not come to a church or they'll not come to a believer because they think the first thing we're going to do is judge them. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put nobody in. I don't know about you. So just like the guy said, God can use flawed people. All of us are flawed. Ain't none of us got it right. Okay, how long you been in the way? Many times because of that, we're in the way. But God wants to use us and allow his love to flow through us to reach people in all of these areas through the family dynamic that he's called us each to walk in when we leave here. What has God called our families to be? And then secondly, how does he want us impacting our schools, our workplaces? And then lastly, and I think even more important because of the fact that all these things bring us together as a church body, how does he want us impacting Austin? We've been talking about it for so long, and now God, because of men of God like Nigel McNeil that came and brought the word, Brother Joel, many people, we don't need to be reminded no more, church. We just need to rise up and walk out the things that God has placed in us. And we're going to make mistakes as we're going along, but it doesn't have to be perfect, because we learn as we go along the way. This event that I just did back in Tyler, they spent almost 4 years putting that together. That's a lot of time. But the impact of what happened was incredible. But a lot of times we get discouraged because we feel like if I take this one step, I'm not accomplishing nothing. Now, you did something more than what you did earlier. You went, you put go in action, because like I said earlier at the very beginning, you can't go sitting down. You can't go stationary. You have to get in motion. And so I believe as we're going, as we take that first step, the Lord is going to meet us in the process, and he's going to give us favor in all of these areas. He's going to open up doors for us. But when he has to see that desire in us to allow the things that are in us to be birthed in others that need the truth and need the freedom that only the Spirit of God can give. So I would say, as we go forth here from tonight and as we're preparing for 2020, you know, it's always interesting that I think of, every time I see that 2020, you think about when they say somebody has 2020 vision, that means they can see clearly. They can see clearly. And I believe because of that, metaphorically, because we're moving into that, because God has commissioned us to go, because God is saying this is the time, he's going to make the path very clear for us to walk out the things that he's placed in us. So be encouraged and just be praying and asking God daily, God, how can go time be put into full momentum in my family, in my school, my workplace, and in house of the Lord? Because as the winers say, it's time to make a change. And if what we've heard the saying before, if not now, if not who? It's just a willing desire. Am I willing to go forth with what God has placed in me? And so that's all I have for this evening. I will leave with Ephesians chapter 9, verse 10. And it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Sister Michelle, if you notice, one of the things that she ended her portion of the message on Sunday, she talked about, she just started looking at what was in our hands. Sometimes what you can use to impact people is right in your garage. It's right in your back seat, right in the trunk of your car, but it's just sitting dormant. But if you put some action to that thing, you realize, man, I didn't realize I even had this. You know, that's how I actually, believe it or not, that's how it actually started with me DJing. I didn't desire to be a DJ, but what I realized was, man, you know what? There was an event going on in East Austin, and it was called Praise in the Park. This was 96. And I had just turned my back on, you know, trying to do secular music because I realized that's not the path that God had for me. And so I said, well, I guess I'm just going to be singing on the praise team the rest of my life. And I was content. I was content to just even do that. That's what God wanted. And so I went to this my friend was telling me about Praise in the Park. And I said, man, that sounds like a really good event. So I felt, you know, that I should go to the meeting. And so they were sharing the things that they needed. They said, one of the things that we need is a DJ for the stage. I had no equipment, y'all. No, I had no equipment. But I had a bunch of gospel CDs. I had a bunch, because I made a commitment. I had, when anything came out in the world, I had it every Tuesday. I got rid of all of that, and I made a commitment to God. I said, for every CD I got rid of, I'm going to replace it with something that's a kingdom. So I had a growing library of music. And so I said, well, shoot, I got this music. So I just go to Mars, went to Mars Music at the time. They closed many years ago and got me a CD player, a mixer, and another CD player. And that's how I started. And out of that, 2 years later, I was on the radio in Austin. 8 to midnight slot. Because I had the desire, just the willingness to use what I had. And out of that, God has done some tremendous things. But it didn't start with me wanting to do it. It started with me having a desire to be a blessing wherever I could be. And out of that, God grew it. I'm saying this to you, the same thing can be for in whatever area, whatever that thing is in your life that you might think is insignificant, God can use it to bless, multiply it hundreds of thousands, even millions, if you just take that first step. Take that first step to say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. Just as we shared from Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all diligence. And expect God to bless it and be a blessing through it as you go forth. Go forth. You don't sit down and cower stationary, but This is the time to go, church family. And we're going to go forth. And then, you know what we're going to go forth? We're going to go forth victorious. Amen. Because he goes before us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Praise God. Great word. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how will the earth be seasoned? Let's make Austin tasty. Let's make our families tasty. Let's make our marriages tasty. Let's make our neighborhoods tasty. I see a room full of Lowry seasoning bottles sitting at these tables. Thank you, Brother Damon. The offering buckets are up here to give you an opportunity to bless Damon. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as family, Lord, and receive from you, Father. And as we go this night, Father, we go in your grace. We go in your love. We go in your mercy. We go in your victory, Father. And we go in the vision that you've placed on the inside of our hearts, Father. As we step out of these doors, we are lights that shine in the darkness, and we are used of you to minister life to others. We are used of you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil, Father. Freely we have received, so freely we give, Father. We thank you for open doors, divine opportunities, Father, to testify of Jesus Christ, Father, to minister life and that life more abundantly to others, Father. Thank you for divine appointments, Father, areas where you brought us in contact with people, and we say, how did that happen? I wasn't expecting that, but God. Father, we receive that direction. We receive that orchestration, Father, to be navigated into those spheres of influences and those places and those people, Father, in their lives, Father, to be the salt of the earth, to be lights that shine in the darkness, Father. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it and call it done this night, Father. Thank you, Lord. You are blessed. Go with God.